At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
I'm John Betzer with my colleague, Professor Evan Ellis, just returned from the Americas. There's trouble in Bogota. Reuters. Armed groups totaled 21,958 people in a recent survey by the end of June 2025. This is 45% more than the estimate of 15,000 plus in mid-22 when President Gustavo Petro took office. And I want to go immediately to the detention of a man who is said to have hired the teenager who used a pistol to shoot a headshot of Senator Uribe, who remains in a hospital in critical condition, a 39-year-old man. But his polling is extremely positive right now. He's a leading candidate for the presidency in 26. However, what we have here is the suggestion that under a former terrorist boss, Gustavo Petro, that what we have is a country out of control and has lost at least security in the areas outside of Bogota. What is your measure of the Petro government now? Is it destabilizing as we speak?
Well, a great question, John. And so as you alluded to, there's really a sense of political paralysis, but also a crumbling of the security situation, in part because of the political situation, also the personal situation of its current leader and former M19 guerrilla, Gustavo Petro. But as you alluded to, the report that came out was an internal report done by the Colombian Intelligence and Security Services, which was made public, doing an estimation of the different armed groups. Essentially, under Gustavo Petro's total peace policy, he was essentially trying to extend what was already a flawed agreement from 2016, demobilizing the FARC. He was trying to extend it to other groups. But in the process of having temporary peace agreements with a variety of different groups, as those groups themselves were increasing in size. So previously, some of the demobilized FARC guerrillas actually had passed into the hands of the other major guerrilla group, the National Liberation Army, the ELN. Others passed into the hands of what had been more strictly criminal groups, such as the Urbeños. There had been a fragmentation even within the FARC of some who decided to stay in the battlefield, what were called the dissidents, especially groups like the 33rd Front, and others that actually joined the peace. Some that joined the peace actually decided that after they joined the peace, people like Ivan Marquez, Jesus Santrich, and what was called the Second Margatalia, decided to return to the fight and constitute yet another group. And so between the policies of the Petro administration and the different criminal and other groups returning and splintering, you've had this actual increase of armed groups and increase in the violence. And so this note that there was a concern under the hardship of the previous president, Iván Duque, that there had been a modest growth in the size of groups, about a 17% growth under the Duque administration. But now this 45% growth really confirmed what a lot of people understood, which was that the things have just gone from bad to worse, not only in terms of the number of combatants, but the resources, their involvement in cocaine. So, but as you also alluded to, politically, there's a sense that with the accusations of the cocaine addiction and alcoholism and other of the current President Petro himself, some of his erratic behavior that's reflected in some of his dealings with the United States, and of course, the political paralysis that has gone in terms of trying to push forward his agenda on healthcare reform, on labor reform, and other things. So Colombians have just really felt that in terms of insecurity and corruption and really the economy of the country and other things, that they're really just looking towards 2026 to kind of get beyond this current situation. And in that looking towards 2026, as you alluded to, there's about 40 different candidates. One of the most promising was Miguel Uribe, which again he had been the his grandfather Julio Cesar Turbe had been president 1978 to 1982. His mother Diana Turbe had been tragically killed, kidnapped, and then killed by narcos in 1991. And so he was a symbol for Colombia's difficult past. And so the fact that he was essentially you almost killed in a contract shooting. He continues to be a symbol for what Colombia suffered and maybe what Colombia is continuing to suffer. But again, although he is still popular, he probably medically is not going to be a viable candidate. But you have everybody from the far right people like a former news reporter, Vicky Davila, to people across the left, to people in the center, such as a former mayor and governor of Antioquia, Sergio Fajardo. So it's really way up in the air where Colombia politically goes from here. But 2026, I think, in the eyes of many Colombians, will be decisive in hoping to at least get back on a track, success track that Colombia had previously been on prior to the current administration and prior to the some of the stresses of the COVID-19 period.
One more detail about trouble in the Americas. The ICE detentions of people in the United States who have been in the U.S. for either months or years or sometimes decades is increasingly in the news. Is Mexico in any fashion helping this story, or is it crossed arms and turning away? 30 seconds, Professor.
Well, certainly Mexico has been trying to cooperate with the United States, both in terms of receiving deported persons as well as holding on to people who were coming to the border, although that's trickled, including not only deported Mexicans, but deportees from other countries within certain limits. But recently you've had a series of cases, initially the elimination of the TPS protected status of Venezuelans and possibly Haitians. That's in the court right now. The recent announcement that also about 72,000 Hondurans and about 4,000 Nicaraguans that have been living in the U.S. for some time have had their TPS status, or may have a TPS status revoked. And so that will create issues for Mexico as well as the countries that may ultimately receive them.
Professor Avenelis.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.